Hello and welcome to KnitWorks, a series of talks powered by Rural Knit Youth Network, covering the challenges of rural knits, young people not in employment, education or training, living in the countryside. Rural Knit Youth Network is a European-led multidisciplinary network with the goal of understanding how rural knit social inclusion can be supported. To learn more about our project, please visit rnyobservatory.eu-web. .6% of the EU's population lives in rural areas. According to the Eurostat, rural and remote areas have the lowest share of the EU's population in age groups below 50 years. Youth outmigration is one of the key drivers of European rural areas' aging and brain draining challenges. Youth mobility is, therefore, one of the key features to make rural communities more resilient. In 2021, Rural Knit Youth Network published a special issue entitled Lessons on Building More Sustainable Rural Societies, Youth and Mobility. How can rural and urban areas become better connected to retain young people in rural areas? What are the factors shaping rural young people's mobility? And how can policy support tackle young out-migration flows to uphold more resilient rural communities? These and other questions will be discussed in this episode of KnitWorks.
Welcome to one more episode of KnitWorks, the Rural Knit Youth Network podcast series. Today we're going to talk about youth mobilities in rural areas. And I have the pleasure and the honor to have with us two invited guests. One of them is Slavan Gasparovic. He is assistant professor of the University of Zagreb, Faculty of Science, Department of Geography. He deals with topics such as transportation geography and social aspects of transportation like mobility, social exclusion, accessibility, or differences between rural and urban areas. Also with us is Oscar Prieto Flores. He's an associate professor at the School of Education and Psychology of Girona in Spain, and he focuses mostly on youth mobilities, migration, and informal support in areas such as mentoring. So thank you to you both to be with us today, and you have been invited because you have edited a special issue on the Sustainability Journal on the mobilities and rural youth. So thank you again for being with us. I would start with you, Slavan.
Thank you, Francisco.
Thank you, Francisco.
Slavan, you have a background in transportation issues. I would like to understand a bit more how you become interested on rural needs. Does it have to do with your rural background?
Actually, I do not have a specific rural background, mm-hmm. but as I am transportation geographer, I think, and it is obvious, it is well known that transportation is one of fundamental human activities, which is present everywhere in our lives. We cannot live without mm-hmm. transportation, you know, basically. So my opinion is that transportation is very important in not only in urban areas, but also in rural areas for citizens, for rural population, and therefore also for need, because they lack of education, employment or training. I think that one of the factors could be also transportation and also related to transportation mobility of, mm-hmm. of people. So this is my kind of my connection with that topic, although my PhD was about young people, about high school students from the city of Zagreb, and city of Zagreb as administrative area also in includes some semi-rural areas. So I found some very, very interesting results in my PhD about high school children living in that in these semi-rural areas. So this is also
so it has one, been on your on of, your on the realm of your interests for a long time now.
Yes, definitely.
And what about you, Oscar? I know that you have been very much involved in Youth International Mobilities, especially with young migrants. How has rurality become an important topic for you? How did it popped up?
Actually, yes. If we see in rural areas, when we are migration studies have been focused mainly on urban areas, no? How yes. migrants are included, no? Or settled in urban and metropolitan areas, no? But not there is not so much research done about rurality and rural areas, no? Uh-huh. And we know we have evidence that we have more and more international migrants and refugees reaching the rural areas, no? Having a national reach, not only in urban, but also in rural areas, no? And it is very interesting to see how they maybe voluntarily have chosen those rural areas, or they have gone to these areas because of their networks, the networks they have, but also because of the search of work, labor migration, to especially for in the farming sector, or even redistributed by the state. Asylum seekers or refugees are redistributed in some countries to some specific areas, and rural areas are some of those spots that the state send asylum seekers or refugees to, specifically some depopulated areas.
So I can imagine that in Spain you also see this trend. It's happening all over southern countries, I presume, of young people from not only from Eastern Europe but also from countries outside Europe coming to work, for instance, in farming. Right? It's a kind of a trend that's emerging in the last few years.
Yes. Especially African and sub-Saharan and also Moroccan young boys looking for a job because in the urban areas they were trying to find a job, they were not able to find a job, and they look for a job in rural and farming areas, actually.
Well, coming back to you, Slaven, you have explained how you have this background in transportation issues. So if you could highlight three or four reasons why mobility is shaping the livelihoods of rural areas, what are the roles of mobility in shaping the livelihood of these communities?
Okay, well, we must be aware that mobility is related to transportation, but mobility is a basic human right. So everyone has a right to move around. So
unless
mobility,
you're confined,
of course. yes, of course. But mobility is, firstly, I would say, related to physical characteristics of individual. So you maybe have some handicapped people, older people, younger people. So no matter where do they live, they will have some better or worse, let's say, mobility. But in many cases, such mobility could be, let's say, canalized through transportation. So I would say that in rural areas, limited mobility or transportation, so limited mobility in a sense of moving around, not just walking around your house, but also moving around. And please consider that walking is also mode of transportation. Yeah. Cycling is also mode of transportation. So limited mobility and or transportation options in rural areas could hinder access to basic services, to jobs, to social activities. This is very prominent in rural areas because we discuss about areas which are low dense areas with more or less lower transportation infrastructure, where houses are not so close to each other, where transportation is relatively rare and with lower development level. So I would say that there are some factors which shape mobility in rural areas, which is, let's say, vice versa process or interrelated process. So we have geographical or territorial factors, which is maybe the main factor, because rural areas are more or less some distant areas, not so well connected with urban areas or with main areas, economically developed areas of certain country. We have socioeconomic factors, meaning jobs, services, employment, and of course demographic factors. So we have not only young people, but also working people, older people, and basically every social group of people also live in rural areas. So we have to find
sorry for interrupting, Slaven, but is there of all these factors, what you've seen in your research and from your experience, is there any factor standing out from the others? For instance, you were talking a lot about accessibility. Is that the main factor behind how mobility is shaped in rural areas?
Well, I think that accessibility is maybe the most important factor. Yeah, yeah. Because access to basic activities like services, jobs, and social activities are the most important. The only question is how will you enable such accessibility, which is more or less always enabled through transportation or mobility or moving through your rural space or rural area, and also between rural and urban areas. So we have to find way to improve accessibility and mobility for rural populations, some novel ways, some better ways to find some viable, affordable, inclusive and sustainable mobility.
Yes, we will get back to,
okay,
to,
perfect.
To that yeah. point, to the implications, yeah. because okay. of course, as you mentioned, there are lots of implications because of the situation is really complex, but accessibility really is a main key here, as you describe. And going back to you, Oscar, one of the things that we usually associate to with rural areas is out-migration, rural young people out-migration.
Yeah.
And this is considered the main driver of rural communities' brain draining. Can you identify some of the main reasons behind that trend?
Yeah, this is a very worrisome situation for many places where the population trends are growing, no? especially because if there are regions where youth are increasingly to leave, there's no future or the future of these regions is at stake, no? So the main structural factors that can be identified from evidence or from other research are especially those of connected with work opportunities, But there are also other elements that are connected with belonging. So we know that those people with higher educational credentials, education, they tend to leave the urban areas to study and to work. And of course, metropolitan areas are having those more, the most privileged jobs. No? So, and this is a factor that that is connected with out-migration in many countries. But the thing is, and the challenge now is how some areas that are not being depopulated are attracting those youth that have credentials, college degrees. Mm-hmm. And of course, one possibility and a structural factor that can change this is internet access. Internet access, for example, high quality internet access, so people can work in these rural areas or can work from home, and this doesn't mean that the people can just work every day from the rural area. They maybe instead of going every day to work to the city or have a 2 or 3 hours drive, no. Every day, maybe they can go to work 1 or 2 days to the city for the most relevant meetings, and then go back and work from home in their rural villages. No,
so that's something that's coming out even from in the aftermath of COVID-19. This discussion is kind of increasing around the ideas of how commutation can change and how can this these new trends can contribute to a new dispersion of the population, right?
Sure. Obviously, yeah. Because the sense of belonging for those rural regions, most of the youth living these regions have this sense of belonging. No? Yeah. Some lose, no? and I think this is a very interesting issue, and there are some articles in this special issue addressing this. Is the sense of belonging, no? In some youth, maybe the sense of belonging is lost, but most of youth seems to have developed this sense of belonging to the place of birth, no? To the place of where they had their childhood, no? And they have still families there.
Well, so let's talk a bit about that. As you both co-edited a special issue for the Rural Youth Network that was published last year in 2021, this special issue is entitled Lessons on Building More Sustainable Rural Societies, Youth and Mobility. So starting with you, Slaven, can you describe a bit what was the focus of the publication?
We had relatively, simple task, which was at the end very, very complex because
it's always like that.
Yeah. So we want to investigate the mobile dichotomy, so mobility or immobility, and whether rural youth voluntarily or involuntarily leave or stay in their hometowns. We wanted to investigate how the mobility of some is inevitably to the immobility of others. We want to collect papers about how different categories of mobility and immobility and their interconnections becomes central for analyzing social change, right? And thereby the potential for flourishing of policy and new policy paradigms, challenges of mobility and youth have been widely explored in urban areas, as Oscar said, but lack of such researches, investigatings for rural areas. So this was also one of our aims, one of our focus. And so we expected papers about several topics, like
a wide focus, a wide approach to mobility.
Yes, it was a wider approach of mobility, because we consider mobility not only in a physical way, mm-hmm. As maybe I research mobility as a physical movement, like which is more or less relate like everyday movement, everyday commuting mm-hmm. between your home and workplace, home and school, and something similar, but also to some wider extent of mobility in a sense connected to migrations, to mm-hmm. Moving of young people out of their homes and rural areas for longer time, and considering of returning to rural areas, which is of course all connected with rural sustainability, for example, right, and something like that. So it's
mm-hmm. so coming back to the papers that you've published and conclusions, starting with you, Oscar, could you highlight two or three main conclusions that stand out from these papers?
I recommend all these papers to the audience. Actually, I think we can start from a very interesting article about mobility, you know, the conceptualization of mobility and immobility mm-hmm. in farming, for example. This is connected with migration studies and the discussions. The most relevant and most new discussions about why people migrate and if they are capable to do it, no? If they have the freedom, and how this is the freedom of ones are connected with the freedom of others, and so on. And I think this is a very interesting piece. There are more pieces, empirical studies about the need to have a more holistic, they recommend to have a more holistic and targeted policies for rural net youth. Mm-hmm. No, and those youth who are not in education nor in employment, because especially in some countries, Balkans countries, for example, mm-hmm. we have a piece in the journal, and this is a special issue that is addressing this area specifically, mm-hmm. And they do a very interesting comparison with Ireland, mm-hmm. and they suggest that it is more it is necessary to have a more holistic and targeted approach in order to address the needs of youth in these areas, mm-hmm. in order to avoid their out migration.
And so when you mean a wider, it means a more connected.
Because education and employment. Education and employment policies have been focused on primary sectors, especially.
Yeah.
Agriculture or farming, and they suggest to have a more holistic approach and widening this target to other emerging sectors like astronomy, mm-hmm. sustainable tourism, a mm-hmm. green economy, for example.
Yeah.
No? And we need to, they recommend to change this. No, mm-hmm. this is one of the outcomes. And another interesting outcome is some authors are trying to answer the question on why rural youth are more willing to move within the country mm-hmm. than urban youth, for example, but less willing to go abroad, to go to another country, yeah. than urban.
That's interesting.
And this is a very interesting question that I recommend audience to get text, this article, and explore the answer, because it's interesting, because the European mm-hmm. Commission, for example, wants to develop an Erasmus Plus, no, program for rural youth, no.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very interesting piece they can see, no. And,
Slaven, was there any conclusion or any paper that you felt surprised with that captured your attention?
Well, yes, in a way, I think Oscar mentioned it that there are rural youth who migrate from their areas, but they are willing to return. Mm-hmm.
This was a bit surprising for you.
Yes, for me, because according to the literature I read, and maybe mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it is very prominent in any country or in Croatia, but when young people move from rural areas, it's very, very rare that they want to return back. But I think that it was about Portugal example that young people are willing to return back. It's kind of a place of belonging in that case. So it is very, very important to investigate why do they want to return and maybe to apply such findings for some strategy documents and then policy documents not only for that country but also for other countries. Obviously there is something there, but we need to investigate more such cases.
One of examples mm-hmm. in such analysis, in this analysis, is one of the articles that is showing that one of the factors for attraction for mm-hmm. youth is a school, is education. For young families that they are starting to have a children, they want to move to a more quiet area, no? Mm-hmm. And they look for what kind of schools and educations are in these villages and towns. And if there is if there are pedagogic or innovative schools mm-hmm. in those areas, this is a call of attraction for some young families. And
yeah. Also the infrastructure and the quality of schools might be an attracting point for these youths. Well, but yeah. I've seen you both interested on discussing a bit the implications. I would start with you, Slaven. When you look at the list of papers and the main conclusions that you found on these papers, can you highlight two or three main implications that you see coming out from these works in terms of policy making, interventions, programs?
Well, yes, yes. In general, I would say that do not get me wrong, but I think the situation or the procedure is relatively simple. We have push and pull factors, so. You know, depending from which aspect you consider it. I will only maybe add when Oscar mentioned about these push and pull factors from rural areas. So it is not only maybe unemployment or low salaries or but I would also say in many countries, especially Balkan countries, we struggle also with administrative barriers, mm-hmm. with bad political environment, with political decisions. So it is not only about at the local level, which comes from the state level, of course. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say this could be kind of let's say floscular measures like we need to funding more rural areas, we need to give them more jobs, etc. But also I would say that there were two articles about stakeholders, so it is important to to provide interdisciplinarity in strategical planning with mm-hmm. with different approaches compared to the urban planning. So we cannot apply same measures, same strategies, same politics from urban areas to rural areas.
We so need improving to policies, the quality of policies, the quality yes, of administration is yes. really something that might improve the
yes,
the
definitely, definitely. Then political willingness. If politics or state is interested to solve the problem of migration from rural areas, well. This is very, very important. I would say that for some rural areas in certain countries, maybe state doesn't have willingness to solve the problem and will let some rural areas to die completely because mm-hmm. the population gone too far. So maybe it is not worth at all to allocate some money yes. or jobs. We need competent staff, of course, educated competent staff related to this strategical planning. Interdisciplinary scientific researches. We showed it from from these papers that it is also very important to connect interdisciplinary scientific approach and researchers from different fields of science to have more successful findings, results, and of course apply in more innovative methods to solve the problem of or to try to solve the problem mm-hmm. of brain drain and migration from rural areas. So this is kind of, let's say, not maybe direct implications from papers, but I understood the papers maybe in that way, maybe mm-hmm. in some indirect way
in any case, in summary, Slaven, clearly better political and administrative approach to the
yes.
to local administration and managing and more informed policies based on interdisciplinary knowledge. I think this
yes.
clearly
yes.
comes out from your impression.
Yes, yes, definitely. Yes.
Oscar,
yep.
the same conclusions. Would you add anything to Slaven's idea?
I agree. Yeah, I agree with Slaven and you. Maybe I would add on the top of mm-hmm. that if we want that migrants and newcomers to these rural areas stay, if we want them to stay, mm-hmm. For longer periods and to have sustainable migration in those areas, especially those depopulated areas, we need to promote the spaces of encounters between newcomers mm-hmm. and locals. No, because it seems to me easily to say, okay, no, the rural areas are more welcoming to strangers than mm-hmm. urban areas. No, because yes. they are smaller and people can get easily. or easier than urban areas, but we know that this is not the case, and
because they continue to kind of live in parallel ways, newcomers and locals. Yeah. Right? It's very common to see that.
Yeah. You never will be from the region because you were born out from that town. No. So these kind of dynamics, we see them all the time. No, in order to break these stereotypes and to generate a more welcoming spaces, there's an article that is providing that is talking about mentoring at local level to refugee young families, so asylum seekers, young families. And I think this is a very interesting piece in the sense of how a mentoring program in a rural area can provide emotional and informal support to those newcomers in order yes. to make them, as a part of the community. And I think this is an interesting piece that also can be complementary, no, to all these recommendations you have talked about.
Well, so all of this can be found in the special issue that you co-edited. I'm going just to remind you that this special issue is called Lessons on Building More Sustainable Rural Societies, Youth and Mobility. It was published by the Rural Knit Youth Network, Cost Action, in the Sustainability Journal, so you can find it there. It's open access, so you can check the different papers. Slaven and Oscar, thank you very much for participating in this episode of KnitWorks. And I hope
thank you for
can listen thank you, from you in very soon with new papers and new challenges. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So this ends this edition of KnitWorks. Don't forget to subscribe our podcast using your favorite platform and be sure to join us for the next episode. See you soon. This podcast is based upon work from Cost Action Rural Knit Youth Network, supported by COST, European Cooperation in Science and Technology. COST is a funding agency for research and innovation networks. Our actions help connect research initiatives across Europe and enable scientists to grow their ideas by sharing them with their peers. This boosts their research, career, and innovation. Visit www.cost.eu.